the game guide on day zero or day one?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't hear an answer from Austin. Strange that. Funny how that happens. I also say it's not. I think it's not cheating. I think it's just weak source. Yeah.
I used it as a checklist in my defense.
A crutch.
It's still extreme weak sauce.
I haven't been to this quest in this dungeon at this exact location and killed these three people. Nice checklist you have there. I only bring this up because I said we were going to talk about the Thieves Guild today, and Austin quickly ran and got his guide.
And it's the longest quest in the game if you count it from start to finish.
Yes, cool. I agree. Not necessarily for the better.
Yeah, the last little bit, which we'll get to, kind of drags, especially if you don't game it. I mean, there are ways of gaming it, but that sounded too annoying to me, so I didn't do that.
Now, I don't remember exactly how the whole thing starts. I seem to remember you kind of have to seek them out yourself, which is a bit different to the Brotherhood.
I remember how it starts. You go to the little marketplace in Riften, and there's a guy there at one of the stalls that says, "Hey, come here," and he's like, he has an offer for you to go take a ring from one of the other merchants and then put it in the pocket of a different one to frame them. And I got that quest and failed it abysmally because nobody paid attention to Mr. I'm going to do a distraction, and I got caught by Majal.
Brynjolf. You're talking about Brynjolf.
Yeah, and actually, you have to wait. Right. You have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait a good hour if you hit the...
It was nighttime.
No, he's there during the day.
Yeah, you're supposed to go back and visit him during the day so all the people are there and they go, oh, he's selling something. And turn around so they're not looking.
Right. And then what you do is you wait until the merchant goes away to listen to Brynjolf chant his little song and dance. You crouch down, and when the guard's not looking, you pick the lock, you take the thing, and then you walk to the other side. And again, when people aren't looking, you crouch down and do the pickpocket. The hard part of this for me wasn't that. It was that there's no other point in the game that I've paid the least bit of attention to pickpocketing. And fortunately, I happen to have a potion of pickpocketing on me. So after two or three attempts and failing to plant the damn thing on the merchant, I drank the potion. Because this is really the only point in the game you need pickpocketing. Even doing the Thieves Guild quest, there are optional side jobs you can do that involve pickpocketing. They call them the fishing job. You can avoid those if you don't have pickpocketing skills. And honestly, other than the achievement for 50 lockpicks and 50 pickpockets, I'm not sure why you would take any perks in the pickpocketing tree.
Oh, man. Oh, you nice missed out on there. One of the coolest ways to kill people in the game.
Oops, let me slip this into your pocket. Just drink that.
Yeah, if you give them a poison by reverse pickpocketing, it's not actually putting that in their inventory. You're pricking them with the poison, and they a few moments later, they die.
You're pulling a Dexter.
So it's like planting the mine in Fallout.
Yeah.
Oh, the exploding pants trick.
Uh-huh. There's also the 100 additional pounds weight or carrying limit. That's also cool.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome perk. And there's another way to kill people with pickpocket. You can make a food item and then poison the food item and then reverse pickpocket and put that on them. And when they go to eat the food item, then they die.
That's messed up.
I didn't know that. I didn't even know these things were possible.
He didn't play Oblivion. There were actually poisoned apples you could do that with.
Oh, okay.
There were poisoned apples in Oblivion.
Yeah, you had to be in the Dark Brotherhood to get them, though.
Oh, I didn't do the Dark Brotherhood quest. I did play through Oblivion, but as I've said before, once I got Vampirism, I gave up on the game.
I thought there would be like a whole vampire quest line in Skyrim, but there really wasn't.
Yeah, so did I.
There's like this massive werewolf thing, but nothing for vampires.
Yeah, crazy.
Like maybe the werewolves ate all the vampires.
You'll see all my.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, people are sick of vampires. Sparkly vampires, dusty vampires.
Seriously. Sparkly vampires have ruined vampires.
They have.
Okay, so back to the Thieves Guild. After you do the initial job for Brynjolf, you then have to find your way through the Ratway to the Ragged Flagon. And, you know, there are a few tough
that's
guys.
That's annoying.
Well, there are a few people you have to kill there. I mean, the first time I went in there, the first two guys in there are named, and I had this notion that I could talk to them. But you can't. They're named, but you just have to fight them.
Well, the first time I went there was actually for the main plot quest. I was trying to find the guy.
Esper.
And then I stumbled into the red flag, and I was like, what?
What's this?
Well, yeah, that was how I found it the first time, too. I'm just saying that when I went in there specifically to find the Thieves Guild, I tried to talk to those guys, thinking that maybe if you're in the Thieves Guild, they're just lookouts. But no, they're just random thugs.
Yeah, there's the guy who is the bruiser, and he's got the does all the punching and stuff. Yeah, he's really easy to kill if you keep your distance.
Did you find that there's like a little girl or later? Yeah, I think it's a little girl that's like talking about an inkwell knife and saying no, no, no. Who or what the heck was that? Because I couldn't find that person that kept talking.
Oh, she's in a locked room somewhere. There's if you go towards if you're doing the part where of the main quest where you have to find Esbern, she's in a locked room over there behind a gate or something, and she's just completely bat crazy.
Okay, I thought she was like maybe doing a clue for something. I don't know.
No, she's just random crazy.
Now you wanted to marry Brynjolf, right, Mackie?
But that's not possible. I've just messed that thing up.
But you can use a console command to add him to the faction that is marryable, and then you can marry him.
Sweet.
Yeah, but I would probably say if you do that, don't do it till you're finished with the main Thieves Guild quest, just in case.
Probably, yeah.
Or else he might set up shop in your house, and that'd be the end of that.
Yeah, because you kind of need him to go some places.
Yeah. So going on with this, I saw the funniest comment in our Facebook group about the point in the Thieves Guild quest after you've done a couple of the initial quests. You know, you go and sabotage the Hunting Brew meadery. And
well, don't jump over all that. That's an interesting quest.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that there was an interesting comment in the Facebook group where somebody mentioned that as soon as they met Mercer Fry, they were talking about the similarities in naming between this and Game of Thrones, and they said in the Facebook group that they immediately distrusted him because of the Game of Thrones reference.
Because of Frey's.
Or for those of us that play the Thief series, they recognized his voice and went, "What's Garrett doing here?"
Yeah, Mercer. Okay, well, we aren't talking about Mercer yet. But Mercer is... Let's see, how do you describe Mercer? Well, he's in charge of the Thieves Guild at this point. Yes, that's a little bit foreshadowing, because I said at this point. But anyway, he's in charge of the Thieves Guild at this point. So then you actually get a real mission, which is to go to the Golden Glow Estate and burn 3 beehives. Now... they say there's a shortcut through the sewers. And so I went to the sewerage entrance, made my way through there, and ended up coming out on the other side of the building, but I wasn't anywhere near closer to anything.
Well, you're closer to the door of the house that gets you in to do the pickpocketing of the guy's key or to the chest if you just want to break the lock on it. You're not closer to the beehives. You're closer to the door to the house where you can sneak past all the bandits if you have high enough sneak and not have to kill anybody.
I ended up having to kill everybody because of the beehives anyway.
Well, you do the beehive second.
I did the beehive second, but then they all came running over because the beehives were on fire.
Well, what you do is you jump in the water and swim across. They don't...
Yeah, and then they started shooting
also
arrows at me.
Fireballs.
I just swam across the water and got away from them. I lit all three on fire and then went across the water. Again, if you have high enough sneak, they never see you.
Now, coincidentally, if you end up going to these beehives and you don't have flame hands as a spell... is a torch will work?
Yeah, the last game, even though I had flame hands, I decided, you know, I'm not playing a mage. How would I set these things on fire? I pulled out a torch and it worked fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I did have flame hands, so I used that, but I was wondering if there was another way.
Yeah, you can pull out a torch, assuming you have one.
When I went there, I just walked up to the main gate and they all tried to kill me.
That's fail at sneaking.
I just snuck through the sewers, went into the house, picked all the locks I had to, snuck past everybody, pickpocketed the dude upstairs, because that time through when I was playing Thieves Guild, I did take pickpocket up some, got his key, snuck down to the basement. There was one guy I killed, and I think I probably could have snuck past him, but looking at it, it didn't look possible, so I killed him. But
I managed to sneak past him. I made noise in another area and distracted him.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I just gave up and killed him. But
okay, let's talk about sneaky for a second, because Austin is not demonstrating any sneaky skills, and I think that's because he hasn't yet played Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Or Thief.
Yeah, I found sneaking is actually probably one of the easiest abilities to raise, because all you have to do is just hide behind like a bar bartender or one of the graybeards and just walk against the wall for like several hours, and your sneak will go up to 100 eventually.
Yeah, you have to sneak near someone, right?
Not even that. Even if you're not gaming it, if you just go into a crouch almost all the time when you're on the road, you'll randomly sneak past various things that are dangerous and it'll go up. I got to like 25 sneak walking out of the first, you know, part of the game, just sneaking all the way through past the bear and the other things on the road.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to get all the way up and sneak. You know, every dungeon I've gone into, I pretty much sneaked around. And it's a, yeah, it's a, I think leveling most skills up is pretty easy just doing it over and over again. Some of them are a bit tricky, though. But anyway, let's go back to
the sneak is really useful because for some of these quests in the Thieves Guild line, and actually for some of the dungeon crawling you do, if you can sneak and not be seen, especially if you're taking those sneak skills up that are useful for the Thieves Guild, you know, you get to the 3x thing on the arrows and the 15x thing on daggers, you know, you can be deadly as long as they don't see you coming.
I believe this is the first place where you run into a collectible thing for Delvin, the Dead statue. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can collect these things as you go, and they put them up as sort of trophies on the wall, and he pays you for them. And they're really neat.
Okay, I utterly missed that.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
This is what Thief trained you to do. Is there anything in this room that's shiny that isn't nailed down that I can loot?
Nailed down, yeah.
I thought Fallout taught me that.
You'd think.
Oh, actually, let's go back to taking care of business for a second. These are the first three. Push some people around to make sure they pay off the Thieves Guild. I want to talk about this. So the first time I played through, I didn't pay attention to this, and I ended up doing a fist fight with all three people to make them pay. But the second time I played through, I realized there is a way you can influence them to pay their debt back. And one of the funniest...
It's a nice vase you have there. It would be a shame if anything happened to it.
You just talk to Brunjolf. He tells you what to do.
Yeah, right. So the pawn prawn guy, he loves his urn. So you basically destroy his urn, and he's like, ah, gets very upset. And Helga is way into Dibella, so she's not even that pretty. Anyway, so if you steal her statue of Dibella, this statue on an interesting quest to collect all the statues of Dibella. It's a hidden quest, and getting all of them is quite tricky. I'm going to try and do it, but we'll see how it goes. So you talk to her, and then you're like, I'll drop your statue down the well if you don't pay back. And finally, there's the Bee and the Barb, where you can talk to Kaelan Jay and convince him to convince her to pay it off. And yeah, you don't have to get into any fisticuffs.
Actually, there's a funny thing about him, because while you're talking to him, you can get the quest from him to find the three flawless amethysts. So if you've done the thing where you pressure Kirava into paying up, and then you talk to Talon Jay again, he'll alternate between, how dare you come back in here, and oh, thank you for giving me the amethyst.
Yeah, they're all kind of like that. It's a bit buggy like that. Even though you've done something nice for them, they still... Anyway. Okay, so moving on, after you've got that brewery up and running, let's see. You're going to put Maven Black Briar's competition out of business. So
that's the Hunting Brew quest, yeah. Dampen Spirits, I think it's called.
Is it called that?
Yeah, I was just playing it again in a game I was playing, and you have to go to Hunting Brew Meadery, which you stumbled across on your way to Whiterun. And the first like couple of times I played the game where I didn't bother with the Thieves Guild quest, I kept wondering, why is this even here? And of course now I know.
It's a brewery. Why wouldn't it be there?
Right, but I mean, why is it a named location? Why is it a named location is what I meant. But you go there and you've got to get rid of their pest problem for the tasting he's going to have. That's actually a mostly easy quest with the skeevers until you're going through and you're supposed to kill the skeevers and drop the poison. The clever part of this is that the guy who owns the meadery will give you the poison, which you're then supposed to plant in the mead to end up screwing up his tasting, which will then put the thing back in control.
Yeah, like the captain of the guard's going to taste some of his mead. But when you go underneath the place into the skeever lair, there's a crazy guy down there.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to fight the skeevers and the spiders. Those are fine. It's that whack job down there.
I'm bringing them for world domination.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a plan.
So he was kind of cool. I had to kill him. Right, so then the captain does the tasting and then arrests the brewery owner for attempted murder.
Right. So then your contact gets control of it, and of course he'll sign it over to the Blackbriars.
And this is where the plot thickens, because the deed to the meadery, there's a strange person has bought it up.
And it's the same symbol you find on the over at Golden Glow. When you've looted through their chest, you find that they've signed over possession of their place. And it's the same weird symbol that nobody recognizes.
Yes. Except Mercer.
Right.
Who's a liar and a scoundrel.
Okay. Well, he is the head of the Thieves Guild, duh.
This is my favorite part of the Thieves Guild thing, I think, here. Well, at least one of the favorite parts. And you have to go all the way to Solitude. This is Scoundrel's Folly, where one of their informants, who works for the East Empire Company, was the broker for the sale of the brewery. And he hasn't been playing good with the Thieves Guild, so you've basically got to go shake him down. And you get this section where you've got to follow him to see what he's actually up to.
And you know, if your sneak skill isn't high, this is probably a pretty hard thing to do.
I don't know what happens if he catches you. He didn't catch me, and I did run into a few guards and had to deal with them on the way. But
well, I don't mean him. I mean that you will run into a lot of guards. And if you're, when I've done this, my sneak skill has been high relative to my level each time I've done it, so I've gotten through with no problems at all. But if you
all the guards got me.
You need to get your sneak up, boy.
Yeah.
Did you walk in with heavy plate and swords clanking or what?
I had the Thieves Guild armor on, but my sneak skill is like 10.
10? How is that possible? So, Annie, actually, when you're going through this section, through the warehouse, you can actually climb up on top of all the stuff and sneak past just about everything.
Yeah, I tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah, there's always some sort of route. You either climb up, or in a couple cases, I think you could swim around.
Yeah.
This guy's deep into piracy. He's helping some pirates steal goods from the East Indian Company. East Empire Company.
6 of one, half dozen of the other.
So once you catch him red-handed, he's sort of like, yeah, okay, you know what? I'll tell you what you want.
Right now he plays ball and will ultimately become a fence for you. And actually, in a lot of ways, he's the most useful fence in the game simply because you always know where he is. A lot of the other fences are hard to locate.
Yeah. You don't have to kill him?
No. You're not supposed to kill him. He becomes a fence.
He didn't agree with me, so I killed him. He started to attack.
Man.
If you deal with him properly, he'll tell you who the mysterious antagonist of the guild is, and that's Kalaya. And then you have to take that information back to Mercer, which is where things get interesting.
Right, this is where you get into Act 2 of the Thieves Guild quest.
There's acts to this?
Well, I mean, if you want to consider it acts, the whole first part we just described could be considered Act 1.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. So next up, Mercer knows who Kalai is. She used to be in the guild, and apparently she killed the old guildmaster and tried to kill Mercer. That's the story. So Mercer knows where she must be hiding out if she's anywhere, which is where she murdered the old guildmaster, the Snowvale Sanctum. So off you both go to the Snowvale Sanctum. And in there, you track through all the various traps, get told numerous times to watch out for that trap, only to have Mercer go and set the trap off anyway.
Right.
Companion fail.
And eventually you get to the end, and I would actually say this is the end of the act, because this is where you find out Mercer catches up with Kalar, and you're a little bit behind. And Mercer was the one who killed the old guildmaster, and Kalar is trying to get revenge for the death of their old guildmaster.
Right, this is where you see the scripted scene where it looks like it's lights out for you, and then you wake up wounded later.
Right, she had some nasty, nasty plan for Mercer, and she had a paralysis-tipped, poisoned arrow that she used on you. And so she brings you back around instead of killing you, because she realizes that you now know the truth. And so, that's now Act 2, I would say, where you've... Your religion is swapped. You're now with Kalaya. You're on the outs of the Thieves Guild, not the inns.
Yeah.
So they go and fetch the journal of the old Thieves Guild master. But he's encoded the entire thing in some crazy old language.
And this is where you find out that the kind of shady guy at the at Winterhold is not just a little shady. He's actually working for the Thieves Guild. or used to anyway, and he can become a fence for you also.
That's Calselmo, right?
No, yeah. No. He's at Macarth. No, this is Enethor. Ah. Enethor, oh, the guy who keeps telling you that he's, you know, the guy who you do all the shady side operations for, like when Mage One wants his staff back, he says, oh, well, I can't give you the staff back unless you fetch this other thing for me. You know, he's got all those shady side quests.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's got the shady side quests because he's kind of shady.
He used to be in the college, right? And now he got kicked out?
No, he's still there. You always find him on the second floor of the where the apprentices are.
Anthea? No, Anthea's not in the college anymore.
Well, no. He's in the college. You meet him as part of the Thieves Guild quest. You meet him at the inn in Winterhold because the way they scripted it to meet you and him in Winterhold because you may not have done the mage quest. You may not have access to Winterhold. Later, after you've done all this, when you go through all this, he'll tell you, if you ever make it to the college, you can see me there. He'll say that at the end of that. And the only way you'll see him again is if you go to the Mage Guild.
Okay, so this is where I just looked this up. This is where I got confused. I found him at the Frozen Hearth Inn.
Right, he's there for the Thieves Guild quest.
Yeah, I never realized he was in the college at all.
Yeah, he's the guy. There's a whole bunch of shady side quests you can do as part of the mage stuff. They're side quests for various people in the Mage Guild, and you can do these various things, and he's always the guy as the broker.
So he realizes that this journal is written in Dwemer, and the only person who knows how to translate Dwemer is Calselmo.
Actually, Falmer, which is weirder, but yeah, go on.
Okay, yeah. Well, you sure? Falmer?
Yeah, I remember. I just did this again. So yeah, it's ancient Falmer. Before the Falmer became a fallen race, they had a language.
Before they all became Smeagol.
Blind.
Yeah, this isn't their pre-Smeagol days.
So, okay, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So he's got, Calselmo has that museum. And I remember a long time ago, I went into Calselmo's quarters from the museum. Even though I had the key and I was welcome, the guard attacked me. And it's because of this stuff that is an off-limits area. And it leads through his bedroom up to this ramp that goes up to this tower. And in there is the tablet, which you can use to translate this.
And this is another whole part of the quest where if you don't have high sneak, you're going to have to fight a ton of guards.
Well, here's another interesting thing. It's a stone tablet, and you need to make a copy of it. And this is another one of those very odd moments in the game where they kind of break the rules. What you're used to doing is not suddenly no longer what you're doing. You have to go and get some charcoal, some paper, and then do an etching of it. And
wondering the whole game, why the hell is there this charcoal and paper in here?
Yeah.
I thought the charcoal would be for smithing.
Quest. Yeah. It's in everybody's drawers, but it's just for this one quest.
Yes, and you can just get it there anyway. So yeah, it's one of those weird moments. Like, you know, we're talking about the slaughter for one of the Daedric things where you have to tell your companion to touch the thing using the complex, hey, you go and touch this thing command that you never use for anything else. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those spots where suddenly you're doing something really... and it was fine, you know, and I kind of wonder... are there people out there trying to do this quest and they haven't realized, oh yeah, derp, I can do something that I would do in the real world?
I'd have never watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Or played Dragon Age Origins where you take the tracing of the, the golems. Remember the golem monument that you have to take the tracing of for Shale?
Oh, Deep Roast. Yeah, no, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, so that's the other game that I've seen that in. The one thing I'm curious about is, as you're sneaking through the tower, most of the guards I had no trouble sneaking past, but there's one hallway where there were three guards walking back and forth. I couldn't figure out any way to sneak past them. I just ended up sniping all
the three. Is that the one big room that has kind of like two levels-ish to it?
Yeah, and then there's the hallway. I guess there's a panel somewhere where you can turn on a Dwemer thing to whack them all. But
did you get the Dwemer robot? You can just direct the robot to go and kill them.
Oh, no, I didn't get the robot.
Oh, yeah, the robot rod. Go kill
me. He stopped working. He got up to this doorway and he wouldn't go through it. He got stuck.
He has a limited power range, I guess.
Yet another thing I missed in the game, it looks like.
Yeah, the control rod is useless after that. That's the only place that you can use that little robot. I was really upset about that. I really want to keep him.
I know. It's like, come on. Why doesn't this thing work on the other ones, too?
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to know. It seemed like it should.
Give me a control rod, and I will control the Centurion.
Well, you think about it. Dwemer walking around in their castle aren't going to be attacked by their robots. They must have had some way to control them and tell them what to do. And you're going to have a rod for every single robot? I don't think so.
Now, there's another part of this quest right here that threw me for a loop for a little bit, and that is when you get to the very end, you walk out onto the tower, and you're overlooking Makarth, and it didn't ring to me right away. I thought for a minute that I was going to have to run all the way back through the city, but there's, if you have your quest turned on, there's a quest that basically points you to one end of that platform. What you're supposed to do is jump down into the fountain to get out of there.
Oh, I had to walk through this whole thing.
I found that not such a quest marker because I just have the habit of trying to find fun ways down waterfalls. I blame Tomb Raider for this.
I'm astonished and amazed at how badly you played this Thieves Guild story so far.
Yeah, you just jump off into the water.
I was never a good thief in these kind of games.
So we see.
So what they translate the journal. What do they find in the journal?
Well, that's when they find that Carlias. Well, you find out that Carlias has been telling you the truth, that Gallus was worried about Mercer, that he was stealing all the stuff from the Thieves Guild, which you're kind of curious at this point how, because the vault is locked with a dwarven lock. And you've actually gotten a foreshadowing of this when you walked through the dungeon with Mercer. There's one of those claw doors that you can only open with a claw. And he makes some elaborate speech about how, well, they have a weakness if you know the trick, and he opens it up. And this is where you, later on, when you're putting two and two together, you realize, oh, this is why he got through there, because he has this skeleton key, which you now learn about.
Yeah, so the skeleton key is the trick. So we're not up to that yet. We'll get there. You believe Carlia, but you've got no proof except her word and your word. But now the translated journal proves it. So you rush back to the Thieves Guild. All the people there confront you. Mercer's gone. And you say, look, here's the proof. And Brignol is like, oh, okay, let's go check the vault. They go check the vault, and it's empty.
Yep, all the chests are open and empty.
Which sucks, because you've just been spending all this time trying to make the Thieves Guild better, and he stole it all. So now it's a matter of catching Mercer. And this was a weird quest. Going to his house, there's like a way up around the corner, and I couldn't find a way to open it. I tried going in the front, couldn't do that. You eventually have to go around the back, which is not obvious to me, and that's where you find Vold, his, I guess, servant, bug, bodyguard.
Now, I just sniped him, but I found out, this my daughter did it this way, you can engage him in speech and basically get him to go away.
Well, what I did was I got him angry, ran away, he chased after me, and then a town guard killed him.
Or you can be super, super sneaky and not have to deal with him at all.
Well, you could do that too, but apparently you can talk him out of it too.
Okay, so let's talk about the super sneaky. You meant to shoot the mechanism which lowers something, but then I still couldn't see how you were meant to get up from there.
Well, then it becomes just a stair. You shoot the mechanism, it drops down, then you just walk up. It's like the staircase in your Whiterun house.
Okay, so I think what happened to me was I just sort of stumbled into that courtyard and just alerted him straight away by accident. So, yeah, you go into this house. There's not much in the house. You get confused for a very long time trying to figure out where to go in the house until you eventually open up a closet with a fake door.
Yes.
Just like the one that Delphine opens.
Yeah, and there's actually another place near Falkreath that some bandits are using, and they've got a fake door like that as well. But yeah, it took me a while to find this. It was very annoying. And then you go through that. He's got a whole bunch of traps and swingy blades and flames and whatnot. And you can get a collectible thing in there. And that's really it, really.
You get his journal here that tells you where to go next.
Does it tell you where to go?
But yeah, this is how you find out where he's going.
Yeah, it's on his desk.
You find a journal that explains where he is, basically.
The bowl of shiny gems.
And those stones you can't drop.
The Baronzeas, the ones you need to collect 24 of, mm-hmm. which is
the 24, and they weigh something.
I'm managing to do pretty well on that quest. I actually got to 10, so there's I'm halfway through there, most.
Okay, so now you know where Mercer is, but Kalaya points out that there's no way we're going to beat Mercer until the mysterious Nightingale mystery stuff is dealt with. And you find out now that the top echelon of the Thieves Guild are part of, I guess you would say, a cult that worships...
one of the Daedric princes.
A cool Daedric prince at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the Nightingales. And what's happened is there's an artifact that the Daedric prince has, which is the skeleton key. And it's basically a lockpick that cannot break. And Mercer stole it. And because Mercer stole it, the Nightingales are in bad with their Daedric prince. And all the luck of the Thieves Guild is gone. So there's no luck, which is why they've been running dry. Things have been going not going their way. So you have to get that skeleton key back to set things right and allow the luck to flow again.
Right. So first you have to go and go become a Nightingale. And that quest is glitchable, it turns out, depending on how you do things. There's, you know, you go into the, you have to go through the Nightingale Sanctuary, going up, I guess it's what, you go with Brunjolf and Carlia.
Yes.
And you go in there, and there's a point where you're going to walk into the last room, where you have the three little platforms that all of you are going to stand on and take your vows to Nocturnal to be her bestest buddy ever, forever. And it can glitch there, because I didn't have this happen to me, but I watched carefully to make sure it didn't. Apparently, she can... no, I did have it happen to me once, and I had to go back on a save, because if she hits the chain twice, she can close the gate from the wrong side so that you're stuck in the wrong place. I had this happen to me where I thought, okay, well, maybe if I wait, they'll come, you know, things will fix. But, you know, so I waited, and somehow, you know, the NPCs managed to get out through the shut gate, but I can't go out. That was where I had to go back on a save. And then basically what you do if this is happening in your game is go over and hit the chain before she does, or stand right behind her, and after she hits it once, basically push her out of the way. I've even read that you can use Unrelenting Force to blow her down the corridor at that point.
Nice.
Move it.
So Nocturne is pretty cool, I think. And actually possibly the coolest looking Daedric Prince in the entire game.
And possibly the most sarcastic too.
It's definitely interesting and does typify the whole Thieves Guild in many respects, but at the same time isn't about thieving. Which I found really interesting.
She's about mystery.
You could almost have like a gambler's guild and also worship Nocturne, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She's not necessarily about thieving. But once you get done with that...
you get the coolest armor in the game. That's what you get.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you get the armor.
I'm Batman.
Yes.
And then once you've got the armor, that's when you're going to go after Mercer. And this is actually an interesting quest. When you go after Mercer... you have to fight him, and he's got this thing that allows him to be invisible for periods of time. Now, they do give you some detect life scrolls, so that even if you're not a mage, you can cast those. But I didn't find it all that difficult. He'd disappear, I'd snipe him, and that was it.
Yeah, because you can still sort of see him with his footsteps in the water.
Right, and there's a little glowy thing near where he is every time he disappears. But even so, I just waited for him to appear, because he appears periodically to taunt you. And every time he taunted me, I'd shoot an arrow in his head.
So this is Erkenfeld, and basically where his notes said he was going was to use the skeleton key to get some Falma treasure, basically. These giant ruby eyes and a big Falma statue.
Yeah, the right and left Falma eyes, yeah. Which are worth serious, serious gold, by the way.
Yes, this was a thing that the Nightingales had planned to do, and their former master had planned to do before Mercer killed him. So now, just rubbing salt in the wound, Mercer's going to go and do it by himself with the skeleton key. So you basically chase after him, get all the way through a rather large Dwemer place, and you get to the last bit. You do that fight with him where he turns invisible, which is...
Well, it's not just with him. There's a bunch of Falmer to fight along the way. And depending on what level it is when you go through this, you know, if you do it at low levels, they're basically Bozo Falmer. But if you do it, the game I first did this, I had a guy who was at the time like level 45, And so you're running up against the Gloamers and the Shadow Masters, and they're pretty darn tough armor.
Yeah.
This is what Snipey and Stabby is for.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem. Sneaky Snappy was what I was doing.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with Falmar or the Tremor robots being basically this tank that goes down there and kills everything with flaming swords.
Yeah. Yol and Kalar basically ask you along the way, we can just sneak through this or we can kill them all. Yeah, well, let's just sneak then.
Right, that's what I did. I snuck past them for the most part. There were a couple that detected me that I had to fight, but yeah, I snuck past most of them.
I have 100 sneaks, so I could probably do it too. Yeah.
So taking the eyes from the giant statue is Indiana Jones' problem. Things start caving in and shaking and water rising.
Load-bearing boss.
And I thought for the very first time there would actually be a point to water-breathing potions at this moment in the game.
But there isn't really.
Sadly, I was mistaken, yes. There is nothing. The water's rising. I thought, okay, I need to find an exit. They're saying, we need to find an exit. The water's rising. I thought, okay, I'll use the water-breathing potion. We'll swim down underneath the statue and get out of here.
Wrong direction.
You just wait for the water to rise and go out through the top.
Right, you just walk up the top, basically. It's really easy.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, you get the skeleton key and the left and right Falmar eyes from Mercer's dead body. And one of the Falmar eyes you can give to Delvin.
Well, actually, not give. He'll buy it for serious money. The other one you have to sell to a fence if you want to sell it.
But it turns out it's also one of the trophies that goes in the walls. Ah. And yeah, the other one you can sell to a fence. They're pretty cool, though. I kept one on my shelf at home. So at this point, the plot sort of divulges into two different paths. You need to finish off the Nightingale story. You need to take that key back and restore the balance and bring back the luck.
And this is weird because you go to where that's supposed to happen and you have to go in yourself because Carlisle said, oh, I can't face Nocturnal. I'm like, yeah, get a man up, will you? Or woman up or whatever it is. So you got to go through that alone. And there's a bunch of shades you have to snipe on your way through. And they're not that hard. And you meet Gallus' shade and he explains the rest of the shades have gone crazy. So you have to kill them or sneak past them. The part of this that's really weird is after you've gone past all the shades, you get to a point where you find a guy, it's some adventurer. You know, Gallus tells you there was somebody who was here before you, and you find a skeleton, it's somebody who wanted to loot the place. You know, it wasn't somebody on your path, like he said, it was just some random adventurer wanting to loot. You get all the way to the end where the last adventurer is, and he's at the bottom of
Wait, stop, rewind. So that dead guy, the first adventurer, is dead. He's got a journal. And there was an interesting line in the journal about staying out of the light.
Oh, and, right.
That and going part. Through
yeah,
the center
for that
part
big
of
room you go through. Mm.
And there's all these shadows everywhere, and there's lights there. And there was this guy there and surrounded by coins and potions and stuff. And the very first time I went in there, I thought, I could go get that stuff. And then I remembered, don't go in the light. And I realized all the dead bodies were in the light.
And if you go in the light, you die really fast.
So you got to, make your way through this maze by never going in the light, which is cool. I think that's very Nocturne-ish. But yeah, then you get to the pit and the last guy is down there and he's in his journal. He's like, I did everything. Why is there nothing here?
Well, this is where you literally have to take a leap of faith. You go down to the bottom where it looks like there's no way out. And I was standing there for a couple seconds thinking, okay, I'm going to have to go back on a save. And then suddenly you're holding the skeleton key up in the air and boom, you're where you want to be.
Yes, skeleton key saves the day. You go in there, you talk to Nocturne, and she gives you an option between three different powers that you can choose. Agent of Stealth, which is the Crescent Moon. If you use this power, you turn invisible for 2 minutes while sneaking. That's the one I chose.
That's the one I picked too.
Agent of Subterfuge, Half Moon. Use this power to cause all nearby enemies to fight each other for 30 seconds.
Nice.
And Agent of Strife, the Full Moon, use this power to invoke a powerful life drain effect. So the sneaking for 2 minutes was really helpful when I was trying to get away from people chasing me when I was getting my bounty up in all the holes.
Nice.
Okay, but it also made me realize that being invisible does almost zip, zero, and zilch to your sneak status in the game.
Yeah, like which is really weird. You would think that it should.
Yeah, you'd think that if I'm invisible sneaking along, there's no way anyone should be able to see me unless I change. And the other thing is that when you're doing that sneak invisible stuff, you open up a door, you become visible, And then when you're on the other side, you're still crouching, but you're visible, and you have to stand up and then crouch again to re-engage it. So, bug.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird stuff.
So there's a big argument to not completing this quest, because the skeleton key is pretty damn powerful.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the key.
So you could go through and do all the rest of the things to get the Thieves Guild back up to its full power and then give it back. You know, just to complete the storyline.
Well, no. Can you do the rest of the quest? Do you even get the rest of the quest?
Yeah, this is where it divides, right? So you can do the Nocturne thing, but you also need to – you can start the Radiant quest stuff.
And this one is the really long-winded one because what you to restore the Thieves' Guild to its former glory, you end up having to do 4 side missions, one in all of the major cities.
I thought it was 5.
Okay, 5 cities. I'm sorry, 5.
So no, there are 5 missions in each city.
Right, you have to do 5 side missions in each city, and fortunately they sum up. It's not 5 in each round, which is what I was afraid it was. But it still takes forever, and the only way you could game that I ended up looking this up on the wiki if there was any way to game it beyond using console commands that I didn't want to use. And the way to game it is to, you know, decide I'm going to concentrate, say, on Whiterun or on Riften or on whatever, and, you know, get your side quests, and if they aren't the ones you want, quit and go back and save until you get the ones you want. And I thought, boy, that sounds more irritating than I can imagine. So I just...
That's incorrect. You don't have to go back on saves. You can just talk to him again and say, I'm not doing that.
Well, I figured they'd get ticked off if you did that often enough.
Well, he chews you out, but that's it. You just keep doing that. But you can also get 2 quests per city because you can talk to Vex and Delvin.
Right, no, I did that. I talked to Dex and Delvin and got 2 quests, but they didn't always line up to 2 per city. I didn't think to just reject them.
Well, my biggest complaint about this is that, okay, so you go down into the thieves, into the flagon, then through the door into the thieves, into the thieves guild, then through the door into the flagon, talk to Delvin and Vex, then back into the flagon, and then thieves guild, and then back out into the real world, go to the city, do the quest, come back to Riften, go down into the thieves guild, back to the flagon, turn them in, and repeat, rinse and repeat, and possibly cancel and accept, cancel, accept, cancel, accept, until you get the right things. Wow, talk about busy work. That is not fun.
No.
No.
That's, wow.
Some of the missions can be fun, depending on how you, you know, how you like doing those kinds of things, but the sheer repetition involved is just ridiculous.
Yes. So once you've done that, the missions in each city, you get a special mission for each city.
And those aren't bad.
They're okay, but, you know, on the back of all the other stuff you have to do to get there, it's... Anyway, there's the first one is in Whiterun. It says Imitation Amnesty. As a convicted prisoner in the jail, and you have to break into the Jarl's office and falsify the records and get this guy a new name, passport, so that he can be released.
That one was easy because even without really sneaking past the guards, I mean, I had the guards detect me a couple times and they didn't say boo.
Well, I was a Thane, so...
Right, I was Thane, so I think they kind of gave me a pass.
Next one was the silver lining in Markarth. You got to recover a stolen silver mold for a silversmith.
And that's a dungeon crawl.
That's a dungeon crawl. At the end of it, you kill the guy and you get the mold back. Then you got the Windhelm one, the Somerset Shadows. Remove a rival guild from the picture. This was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that one they actually have a side thing for you where there's extra money if you burn their banner, which I found kind of interestingly cool.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Especially since it's killing elves.
Yes. So, yeah, they were trying to push in on the whole thing. And there wasn't somebody's brother mixed up in it or something like that? No, they killed some sister and someone else wanted revenge.
Yeah, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, it was all mixed in. And she wanted to lock it back or something. And then the final one is in Solitude, the Dainty Slowed. Now, this ship has some skooma on it, I believe.
Yes.
I may be mistaken. Yes.
Yeah, and you can do this a couple of different ways. One way you can talk to the woman on the ship and pay for the key, or you can just dive into the water and break in, or you can sneak through the ship, go into the chest, get the key and all the other and some goodies, and then go down to the other chest and get the stuff you need.
I was recovering the Stone of Brenzan from there. And I already cleared out that ship, so I wonder if they'll reload it once they do that.
Yeah, you're delivering some fake evidence to things, so even if they're all dead, it's not going to change anything.
Okay.
So finally, after you've done all that, you go back to the guild, and everybody's standing around you like, wait, what?
What's going on, guys?
So you're talking to Bryn Yoff, and he's all like mysterious, and yeah, they basically make you the Guildmaster, and you get the Guildmaster armor, and you also get the Guildmaster chest, which is what do they call it? They call it the tribute chest.
Yeah.
Where a percentage of all earnings for the Thieves Guild goes into that. So every 2 days, that's filled up with stuff.
Which is very much like what happened in Oblivion once you joined any of the major guilds. You know, money would just appear for you every so often. It's like getting married in this game, too. Although the other thing that's interesting about this is that once you do that, you can't ever talk to Brunjolf again. Every time you go by him, if you try to engage in conversation, he says, "I'm sorry, lad, can't talk right now. I'm very busy right now."
Well, where the heck does Kalal go? Because, A, she was invisible. Like, I could see bits of her clothing, not her, when I was getting made the Guildmaster. But, B...
I think she says she was going to hang around in the Nightingale Shrine place that's near Riften.
I went there.
You can make her a follower, I think.
Really? Because she's awesome.
Yeah, I think she can be a follower, but I also ran into her randomly out in the wilderness, just like you periodically run across companions in the wilderness.
Gonna look her up. That's what I want.
I asked her once what she was doing out there, and her response was some variation of, "What do you think? Stealing stuff."
Duh.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think she can be a companion, but I'm not sure. But in any case, yeah, she's at the ceremony. But after that, Brunjolf will never engage you in conversation again.
Oh, so here's a little mechanic that really annoyed me. You know, we talked about the Mariable guild. The factions that are kind of hidden behind the scenes. Some people you can marry, you can't marry, and those that you can marry are in the marrying guild. Well, and you may have noticed that some people you can't pickpocket, or at least you can try to pickpocket, but you'll never succeed. Kalal is in with that, and the pickpocket in Windhelm, who can teach you pickpocketing skills, is like that as well. It's called the Thieves Guild No Pickpocketing Faction.
What?
You know, yeah. I noticed an odd faction name when I killed that Commander Mora for the Dark Brotherhood. It said Commander Mora's Crime Faction. That was very strange. I don't know.
Maybe
weird.
Maybe they're corrupt guards.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I wanted to marry Carlisle, but she's already married to the dead ghost of the Thieves Guild. Not married, but in love with. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's fighting for the few words, yeah.
She's a girl.
Yes, that happens when you talk to Nocturnal, when you give the key back. She gets to talk to him again one more last time.
Yeah, they'll be reunited together as Nightingales when she passes. Nice, but oh well, I wanted her.
Yes.
Can be only one, apparently.
Unrequited love.
You still have Camilla.
Okay. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps up the Thieves Guild quest. I mean, this is a pretty good quest line right up until you get to that Radiant End, which the only reason I did that Radiant End was to get the achievement.
Yeah, and let's also not forget the Radiant End on... the companions quest, the champions companions quest with the werewolf stuff, curing the werewolves.
Yeah, but that seems somehow less annoying because they're all dungeon crawls of one kind or another. So
they're optional and there's no quest at the end. But I guess the thing that is disappointing here is this is where Radiant had a chance to shine and in essence just annoyed us all.
Well, I don't know that it's Radiant that's the problem so much as that for the Thieves Guild, it's that they said, we're going to give you some variable number of Radiant quests before you can go to the next stage where things happen. And we're just going to force you to sit here and suffer through them. And I mean suffer because the missions they're giving you are really just fetch quests.
Yeah.
Well, this is when fast travel is good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is where you have to give up on the idea of using carriages and... or walking places, because you'd never get it done.
Yeah, you'd die first.
You would die, well...
But you'd die from things on the road, or multiple dragon attacks,
No, I meant your life would actually end. That's how long it would take.
No.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not feeling the Radiant love.
No, that's something they need to work on. If those quests... They either needed to have a smaller requirement to get to the real quests, or they needed to have them have more meat than be fetch quests. They needed to be something.
Yeah, and it would have been nice if it had been scattered throughout the entire storyline rather than all at the end.
Yeah, if you had said that you had to do five of them in each city over time, starting from the beginning of the game, maybe, instead of all at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just...
Yeah, if like to get to the next piece of plot, you had to steal X amount of stuff. That would make sense because you're helping build the guild back up and get them to trust you.
Yeah, Mike, you would think building up the guild would be reestablishing contacts, which is that special quest at the end of all the fetch quests. Oh, just a random point that I saw on the Facebook group. Someone was suggesting that we don't know that you can go over level 50. It's not that we don't know that you can go over level 50. We know that. It's just that getting to level 50 is such a pain and you only do it for the achievement.
Yeah, so why do you want to punish yourself more?
Well, actually, you know what I found? And this was something that I didn't notice. There's in the Thieves Guild, there is a training room. Did anybody else run across that?
Yeah, you can practice.
Yeah. Yeah, you can practice. That's actually how I finished getting to level 50. I worked through the last half of level 49 to 50 by breaking lock picks against the locks.
Really? Pickpocketing, can you practice that?
You can practice that anywhere.
Yes, practice it in White One by running around and pickpocketing all the guards because they stole your arrows and you want them back.
All those arrows in the knees.
Yeah. Well, I think on that note, Michael, you can take us out.
Okay, then. He says stalling for time.
He's not ready.
Misses his cue again.
Have you missed an episode? Do you need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Or join the Facebook group? Or perhaps follow us on Twitter? I'm posing them like questions. I don't know why. And we also have a Steam group, which for some reason isn't as popular as the Facebook group.
Exploded. We've got lots of people on there now. It's a great group.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Facebook. Lots of interesting conversations going on in Facebook. People asking questions, looking for help. People giving really good answers to those questions and providing help. Some screenshots going up, some videos going up. Lots of fun stuff. Definitely join the Facebook group if you can. And you'll find these links and more at www.jarober.com, JARober.com/Thumcast, THUMCAST. And with that, we have this.